die Kommission vor der Nachricht with the committee's role and function then is located in the broader legal and political framework for political issues, which is broadly speaking to really build a parliament that is responsive to the needs of our people, driven by the idea of realizing the strategic objectives of the parliament for all South Africa. Now, I will not go, I'll try to avoid sections of our constitution, but of course, perhaps just to allude to the fact that parliament, like the other two arms of state, in the creation of the constitution and derived powers, functions, and roles from the stipulations of the constitution. Now, again, it made us what we did some years before, not so long before us, when we attained the early independence. We basically emulated the model in terms of the setup of our institution, particularly of the House of State, which are of course the judiciary, the legislature, and the government. And so we are at one of state. The key strategic objective that I want to explain to you is for Parliament to build an effective process of scrutinizing and overseeing government. That's one. And then, of course, to build an effective and efficient institution, you know, that is able to execute its mandate of oversight and also of legislation, which is the key strategic objectives. Now, what then government mandate, both in terms of law but also in terms of expectations of our people, that the parliament is representing the people and ensure government by the people under the constitution, and of course as well as to represent the provinces so that the provincial issues find expression within parliament at a national level. So basically to create a platform for provincial issues to be heard at the national level. Thus, our confederation, parliament is a national assembly which elects the president, and then the National Council of Provinces, where the issues of provinces are then heard. So in the NCOP, with no other representatives from provinces, hold housing together across the parliament. So we have that item with the provinces as the. And then, of course, what are the core objectives of parliament, or the core functions of parliament? One is to pass legislation, which is the priority in any parliament. Two is to scrutinize and oversee as well as possible. Three is to ensure public participation and involvement in among others the legislative process that are underway. And then, you see, in our constitution we have what we call the cooperative governance clause, which basically compels the different spheres of government to cooperate rather than mitigate, to seek cooperation and a cooperative resolution of issues that may arise at any time between and among the different spheres, as opposed to going to court to resolve the issue. So under that cooperative governance clause, for instance, a province which is finding it very difficult to take national government to court
showed you before at AFL, so that's got all forms of cooperation, possible cooperation between them and national government that they call the UN. So amongst others, then the parliament is part of the one sphere or the one amnesty. Ours participates in that cooperative process and also to promote and oversee the cooperation between and among the governments, so to speak, and our, because of our provincial national cooperation. And then the last objective of Parliament is the international relations. Parliament conducts its own international relations as a parliament in the relation to other parliaments. So Parliament, for instance, engages in bilateral agreements with other parliaments, engage in own bilateral relations. And in fact, also participate in multilateral institutions. So that is outside and independent of the state of government, both bilateral arrangements and engagement. So those are the five broad areas of Parliament's core function in terms of what defines Parliament's work for the function now. But for Parliament to do or to give effect to these stipulations of our constitution and expectations of our people, we have to set up institutions. And amongst those are forms such as yours, our government committees. Generally, those committees reflect the various government departments. In particular, to show that all the issues in the national sphere of government find expression in Parliament. Now, these committees of Parliament do the Parliament's work. They are often described as the engine room of Parliament. They shadow the work of government itself, they mirror the government department, but there's a provision that they do not necessarily only focus on government department. Parliamentary committees may investigate any member of public interest for a matter of national interest, which is not necessarily restricted to what a particular government department has. Let me give an example. You might know the recent Marikana incident. Now, that's not necessarily a matter that only falls within a particular committee. While, for instance, the original issue may have been a dispute between employers and employees, but the escalated and began to take on other dimensions outside of just a pure worker-employer-employee relationship. Parliament had a debate on that. When was it last week? That we had a debate a week before. We had a national debate on that. That's one tool used in investigating anything. Parliament could at any given time send out a committee. For instance, when there were those xenophobic attacks, unfortunately, again, some time ago, there was a committee that was set up by a resolution of the House to go and investigate this matter and report that Parliament, for Parliament to take a resolution. So Parliament does that all the time. Now, what do committees do? Our committee monitors and oversees the work of the Department of International Relations and its offices. Now, in our case, we have our departments is to familiare con i figli, perché in realtà mai si fa si spetta alimento per il padre, fare il figlio e il figlio di maggiore farsi il figlio e moda di tutto il tempo e ci servono tutti per stick alla famiglia e alla produzione per essere qui servono di tutti and of course we are supported by parliamentary support staff. Now let me quickly look at we've had some movement. You are fortunate in the sense that you pay us a visit when we just emerged from a professional session. You start getting training sessions of the professional session where we have reviewed our mission and vision, where we reviewed our strategic objectives, and what it is that we want to do. Just quickly, I hope to finish in another 2 minutes. We said that of course we wanted to be an effective portfolio public TV and so on. But key to that, one key area is we said we want to do our work or to be effective in ensuring that our foreign policy is number one based on strategic policy. A tool that foreign policy is our national interest. And that three, that national interest for that policy helps us to achieve our domestic problems. Because we can't, our view was that we can't have a foreign policy that doesn't speak to the issues of poverty and unemployment and development. Those issues that continue to afflict South Africa. And so that our foreign policy or conduct thereof must necessarily assist us to achieve those objectives, abolishing the issues of poverty and unemployment. And then, also, to ensure that indeed Bill 4 enhances South Africa and South Africa's standing in terms of building development partnerships for the development of South Africa, Africa, and the pursuit of HIV in the world. And in that context, we use our mandate to consider the legislation involved. Exercise of oversight of Africa, consider the international agreement, we have had a piece of treaty coming to us now, the review of the Cotonou Agreement. And I'm sure at some point you might have said that before you speak on that, you put it well. And then we also have to consider the budget allocation, the budget allocation of the department. And to exercise parliamentary support to help us achieve our foreign policy objectives as a country. Because remember, our view is that there cannot be a different foreign policy apart from the one enacted by the president. Because South Africa's constitution makes the president the only office responsible for the conduct of foreign policy. So, if anything, it can only be the president that pronounces on foreign policy, on South Africa's foreign policy. And all other institutions of state in the country can't have a different foreign policy, different from that of the president. Their only office in the country entrusted with the conduct of foreign policy. And as such, what we then must do as a committee of parliament is to discharge our responsibilities and conduct our international influence of policy is key in terms of parliament, of parliament's influence and power in the institution. It can never be that the only, you know, policies are just pronounced, you know, and we are expected to comply every time. We need to, because now we must be careful, careful of the separation of power between us and the executive. However, we can influence executive action and policies as they are made. And then, of course, so those are the key or broad objectives we set ourselves out to achieve within the context of the broad parliamentary mandate and our role in it. I don't want to go through the more administrative stuff in it, suffice it to say that we view our role as very important as a portfolio committee of parliament. That is key and critical in the execution of parliament's mandate. So, for parliament to be effective in its oversight, the passing of legislation, international legislation, its committees will have to be effective in execution in what is good. Very reminded of the very important issue. Look, some 2 years ago, we had the enactment of the piece of legislation, the money bills, what was it, the money bills amendment act, right? Basically, it boils down to Parliament now, as opposed to the past, Parliament now has the power, or shall I say, Parliament now has given itself the power to amend the budget of a department. Yes. And it does that again to its committees. We have a process, what we call the BRR, the Budget Review and Recommendation Report process. It's a long process, but basically what it boils down to is that a committee will consider the annual report of the department and look at all the issues, in particular the performance issues of the department. Upon which a committee will then make certain recommendations. Now, come budget time, a committee may, first subject to some things that we have to consider, a committee may recommend to either increase or decrease the budget of the department. Now, this is a power parliament didn't have before. In fact, we are also still new in the process. We actually really just learning the ropes now in 2 years. We implemented it. Of course, some committees already have used their power to increase the budget in some instances. At least one instance increased the budget for the minister. Now, that's a very important power for parliament, because now you see it allows parliament to take it seriously. It allows parliament to be taken very seriously. Now the executive knows that, you see, if we are wasteful with taxpayers' money, parliament may decide to reduce, or if we don't spend our budget, you know, parliament may decide to decrease our budget. And that those departments that spend and that take report of what is spent, you know, and so on, and we need more resources, parliament to increase their position. So that's a very important power. Not saying we're still new in it, we're Then I think we find the good people in the situation. There's also a lot of other internal arrangements that Parliament is giving to set up like a budget for fees and so on to help streamline, you know, especially in terms of capacitation of members, in terms of interpreting, you know, reading budgets and interpreting them and so on. And then let me lastly then finally deal with the issue of capacity. Okay. Let me start with the binding nature of resolution. Very important issue, because you see, what in our system, what we do is committees will engage on issues, will discuss issues, look at them, and finally formulate recommendations. Now those recommendations of the committee are recommendations to the House. And if they are passed, adopted in the House, they are then resolutions of Parliament. So, and once they are resolutions of Parliament, that particular department concerned is in fact compelled by law to enact whatever recommendations have been adopted by Parliament. Of course, legal agreement recommendations or resolutions in fact adopted by Parliament. For instance, the A department is required to act on a particular issue. That recommendation would say that the department should do 1, 2, 3, 4, and then recommend for the committee recommends that that department must report back to Parliament in 3 months or not whatever time the committee will propose. So once that's the resolution of Parliament, the again sensitive to the separation of powers. Sensitive to that. So the department will have to implement and recommend, I mean, and report back to Parliament. So they are binding to that effect. They are binding to that effect. And then lastly, the issue of capacity building. Look, what we, well, what from a committee, we have in the past effect tried to, what we do, we would, you know, have a workshop on one or the other issue that we would do. For instance, we had a workshop on parliamentary diplomacy, or the public diplomacy. Parliamentary diplomacy. Yeah, it was parliamentary diplomacy. So we had such a training exercise. In the broader parliament, there's some courses, you know, that are given or are provided in parliament by either the training division of parliament or there's of course they will bring in the various, you know, people that we need to provide. I know when Peter Williams, when he came there, So you have these various sectors.
Animals coming to our home. Thank you.
formalizzato in senso tecnico di sostegno a fare una diploma o di ricognize in generale di last one separation of power the top of the separation of power how that gradually acquired with society or and the member the position of the minister in the national assembly can be empty or are they not empty what is their status okay? Or in general what they are appointed to get out of parliament for what purpose that's it.
In fact, I know, for instance, there was another course actually vote the same part. The one that one was presented the total government
but I mean,
now,
it's not extra
convention. chaired, normally chaired by the opposition by convention. By convention. It's not a rule, it's not the law. In fact, in the past, there was a chairperson of that committee who was a PhD member in the 90s. But since then, it is convention now. That always is a member of the opposition. Now, in the chair now. Now it's Temba Kodi from the APC.
How's your working relationship with the National Council of Directors? Whether it is from the National Assembly, because we have a patient.
Yes,
it's not through houses.
Yes, generally it's good. However, there are those tensions as well. You see the tension between what some see as a senior house and a junior house. I'm sure you have the same one. Generally, at the upper and lower house, you know, with us, the National Assembly is seen generally as the higher, you know, house or the senior house. And the NCOP, as we do now, is seen as the lower house. But in terms of the law, you see, in terms of the law, it is both houses together, equal standing that makes Parliament. But somehow, you see, there's this anime in the palace because of the LAUP that you know that, and of course, the nature of the issue is very different, and so on and so on. In the end, they have opposed to the NCOP. And of course, the NA elect the president, So, but here there are locations. They are just like they are there. But generally, as committees of the NA and the NCOP, they confer on issues. They engage together on issues. Personally, for instance, I have an excellent relationship with the chair of counterpart portfolio in the NCOP, and we work close together in other forums. But it's not always the case with with others. Yeah. Lastly, just the two of you, and then we must.
Every small government has its own priorities, and we cannot interfere with provinces, and provinces cannot interfere with local government like municipalities. So each and every one is set out completely. But there is a few towns like, for instance, health and police, they are both on province, and so with that, sometimes we get a little problem there. But just for interest sake, the province once decided that this taxis that they're selling, the people put in seats and then they're making taxis, and they said it's illegal because there was a lot of people that were queued on the roads because of this not-proper taxis, the sashi and all that got strong enough. So they summoned the province, summoned the Minister of Transport, because he didn't want to hear to them. So they summoned him and they brought him in front of their court, and they said to him, this is the story, and they had to listen, and then they had to change it. Combi taxi. It's not a combi taxi unless it is from the manufacturer, licensed as a combi taxi, but not the panel bags that they could see to, because that's a danger. So there's sometimes that.
No, I just
think
that the two last things
is
on the interest, yeah, the one thing that just does great me. Whether it's the NCOP, whether it's our provincial legislatures, all of them, local government, all of them, we've crafted our constitution in a very helpful way when it comes to that. And secondly, in Parliament, we've crafted also the rules of Parliament in such a way that gives a lot of assistance. Although we are about to review the rules of Parliament, I serve on that committee also to review the rules of Parliament. We're basically looking at some rules which really comes out of the old stuff of Sweden and so on. And so we are forced at this juncture to start to review the rules. We we haven't gone as far as some of the other parliaments where they're still wearing the wigs and so on. We've got a bit of all of that done. We've got a few ways and so on. I think that helps us quite a bit, the rules of parliament and the constitution helps. But we must appreciate the NCP is a lot of difficulty because we have a committee on international relations and cooperation, for example. They don't have that. They have something similar to what you have here. And then they are lumped together with, because they are far less than us. So sometimes our demand, they can't meet it because they don't have the same capacity. They don't have the same time. They don't specialize that we sort of specialize. We've got to focus on everything else. I want to take the opportunity, Chair, to lighten up the international relations, but maybe see it in that way. I want to find out if you people are you successful in finding oil in your country? We are fed up of it.
Very much in the national relations.
We are fed up of it.
And how much can we
get? But this is the problem. It doesn't matter. In fact, they could find oil now. But it will still be 94 cents. because you see, there's this cartel in OPEC. You see, where oil prices are centrally in Germany.
It's a monopoly.
Yeah. I think we need to advocate for a competition commission against OPEC. Break their stranglehold with monopoly over oil prices.
Yeah.
Okay.
Thank you.